Welcome to Off the Chart with Medical Economics, a podcast featuring lively and informative conversations with healthcare experts, opinion leaders, and practicing physicians about the challenges facing doctors in medical practices today. I'm Jeff Bendix, Senior Editor of Medical Economics. My guest today is Dr. Cesar Caraballo, a postdoctoral associate at the Yale School of Medicine. Dr. Caraballo is lead author of a recent study in the Journal of the American Medical Association examining barriers to obtaining timely access to medical care and how those barriers have changed over time and differ by race and by ethnicity. He's here to talk about the study's findings and what they say about the state of American healthcare. Welcome, Dr. Caraballo, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start by asking, why did you and your colleagues undertake this study?
So this goes back around 2020 when there was a reemergence of the discussion around healthcare reform in the context of the presidential elections, and about a reemergence of the discussion about race and ethnicity in the US. So back in 2020, we sat down and we wanted to know if over a recent period of time in which healthcare expenditure has going up substantially, if there has been any progress in eliminating racial and ethnic disparities in health. We sat down, we thought about how to study this and how to track it. And we decided to use National Health Survey, the NHIS, National Health Interview Survey, which is the largest data and the deepest data set that there is available about the health of and healthcare about Americans since the 70s. For context, since 1985, the Department of Health and Human Services have described a substantial gap in health and healthcare delivery by race and ethnicity in the US. In a landmark report called the Heckler Report, they documented that Black people and other minoritized groups in the US have experienced worse health care access and higher mortality rates than white people. And since then, there has been a series of efforts to reduce these disparities and to achieve health equity, including major healthcare reforms like the Affordable Care Act in the decade of 2010. So we decided to study if, with that context of national efforts and increasing expenditure, if there had been any progress in achieving health equity. Last year, we published a paper in JAMA in which we tracked the health status by race and ethnicity in the US. With health status, we mean how people self-describe their health and self-rate it from poor to excellent. And we found that Black and Latino people persistently over the 20-year period report higher prevalence of poor or fair health. And this is adjusted by age and region in the US. And we also found that over the same period, Latino people experience higher barriers to access to care, and both Black and Latino people specifically report higher prevalence of affordability of care, lack of affordability of care, I mean, meaning that they are foregoing or delaying medical care due to costs at higher rates than white people. In this new paper that was published in JAMA Health Forum, what we wanted to see specifically was a series of barriers that are not directly related to cost. So we know that barriers related to cost are higher among Black and Latino people, but we wanted to see if these other barriers that may not be directly related to the cost of care, if there had been any progress. And we decided to track it over the same period, 1999 to 2018, and see if on a national level, we have achieved any progress in eliminating them.
You chose those years simply because that was the most recent data available and you wanted to track it over two decades?
That is correct. And back in 2020, that was the most recent data available. But importantly, in 2018, there was a change in the survey design, which limits how we can merge data pre-2019 to post-2019. I most likely recent, like after a period of adjustment, we may be able to bridge it, but so far we couldn't. So that's why we limited to 20 years back to 2018.
And what did you find?
So in this new study, we found, like, we used data from nearly 600,000 people. And importantly, I wanted to clarify this. This is not like the results from this paper. The percentages that we obtain can be translated into national estimates. That is a key aspect of the survey that we use. So if we say, for example, 10% of Black people experience a lack of transportation to healthcare, that means that on a national level, 10% of Black people have experienced that, not only of respondents, but on a national level. So we found five or six major points. The first one is that the prevalence of these barriers to healthcare increase and nearly double over the 20-year period. In 1999, 7.1% of people experienced any of these barriers. And in 2018, this increased to 13.5, meaning that in 2018, one in seven people were delaying medical care due to reasons not directly related to cost. These reasons that we studied, like for people to have an idea of what we're measuring, were if people delayed care because there was no appointment available soon enough. The second one was if their office hours over the clinic or the doctor's office was not open when they could get there. The third one was if they couldn't get there by get through by phone, meaning if they couldn't get an appointment by phone. The fourth one is that once people get to the clinic, they forgone care because they had to wait too long for being seen by the provider. And the fifth one was about lack of transportation to get to the appointment. So those were the five barriers, and we found that they increased nearly double over the 20-year period. And then the second major finding and the key of this study that we wanted to track is that over this period, there was an increasing racial difference in the prevalence of these barriers. We found that although there was no gap in 1999 by race and ethnicity, no significant gap, in 2018, there was a significant gap between Black and white people and Latino and white people. There was a difference of 2.1 percentage points higher for Black people and 3.1 higher for Latino people. So in the context, in summary, these two findings, the prevalence of these barriers increased at a disparate rates by race and ethnicity, affecting more Black and Latino people. The third more key finding is that these increasing in disparities occurred mainly between 1999 and 2010. From 2010 to 2018, the prevalence of the disparities remained stable, meaning that they did not change substantially, and that may indicate some effect of the Affordable Care Act in at least slowing down the increase in the disparities, but we couldn't formally test that. Those are the major findings. We may want to go into a deeper look in some of them, but yep, those were the major findings.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, I know.
Generally speaking, what do you think accounts for it? The fact that there was minimal disparities when you began the study and substantial disparities in the year that your study ended.
This speaks beyond healthcare, on the healthcare system. I believe it reflects worsening situation for racial and ethnic minorities in the US that affect how they interact with the healthcare. These barriers were not directly related to cost, meaning that it's not just that people cannot pay for their healthcare, but that they are experiencing systematic barriers to access it, beyond cost. As the expenditure of healthcare is rising, one would expect that the quality and the accessibility of it would increase too, but we found that that is not the case. And that means a failure of how in the US people are getting healthcare, and especially for Black and Latino people, which are in this artificial hierarchy system by race and ethnicity, in the lower levels. So yeah, I think it speaks beyond healthcare. It just speaks about the society that we're living in and how are we failing those that need healthcare the most.
One of the things that it suggested to me was a growing spatial problem, that healthcare facilities increasingly are being built in places that are inaccessible to poor and minority people, i.e. in the suburbs and exurbs, and people of color and poor people are much more concentrated in center cities.
That is correct. There is a clear need, and there have been a lot of studies showing that Black and Latino people are more likely to live in neighborhoods or in areas of the cities that have less accessibility to healthcare facilities. And when there's healthcare facilities, that they may be are more likely to be overcrowded or have long waiting times and experiencing, even if they can get there, more barriers to get their healthcare, including also disparities in quality of care. So Black and Latino people, even in areas with healthcare facilities, experience worse health quality of care than white people. So there's a geographical aspect of these disparities. And even if we remove that, the quality of care that people are experiencing is also worse.
Do you think that that is a result of racial attitudes, prejudices on the part of healthcare givers, or is it healthcare systems aren't investing as much in the facilities that they do have in cities, or is it a combination? What do you think might be causing it?
It may be a combination, but I think that what we can say about our findings and about other findings is that this is a systematic issue. And even though like there may be individual attitudes that may perpetuate the disparities, the worsening and the clear worsening on a national level, it speaks more of a systematic and a broader cause of these healthcare disparities. I wouldn't bring it to specific individuals, but to the how the healthcare system is built and how resources are distributed on a national level. So it may be both, but mainly the systematic, how the healthcare system overall and how resources are distributed.
The main impact of the Affordable Care Act was to expand insurance eligibility or insurance coverage to more people. How do you think that that might have affected your findings, which weren't focused on affordability and insurance coverage?
Yeah, that's a very important point. So as I told earlier, we found that the increasing disparities occurred before 2010, and after it, they were stable. So they didn't reduce, but they were stable. So there may be a signal that that may help, that the insurance coverage itself may help in alleviating worsening racial disparities in these non-cost-related barriers. However, by itself, it's not enough. There's a series of papers studying waiting times associated with Affordable Care Act, and some of them have found that waiting times to get an appointment have increased after the Affordable Care Act was passed. So the Affordable Care Act by itself may help, but may also worsen or limit a few other aspects of healthcare delivery. However, what we found is that at least it didn't make things worse in this aspect. In the other paper that we published last year, we found that even though it helped reduce the uninsured population among Latino and Hispanic people, the affordability of care remained stable after the Affordable Care Act, meaning that even more people in 2018 were reporting not being able to afford healthcare than in 1999. So it's important. It has helped millions of people, but by itself, it may not be enough. And what we want to say is that this is a problem of healthcare, but it needs solutions beyond healthcare. It needs societal solutions, so societal equity in how people, like the resources are distributed in the population, and not only healthcare resources, but monetary resources in working conditions, the types of jobs, the housing conditions. So this may be an indicator of an overall convergence of overall barriers to people to maintain and achieve their best and optimal life. So yeah, that's a long answer to your question.
The solutions you're suggesting are very long term.
Is there anything that you can suggest more immediately that might be done to address some of these issues?
But there may be specific things that can help in the shorter term. One is the redistribution of healthcare facilities, as we discussed earlier. There have been studies showing that when a new healthcare facility is built in a neighborhood where that was previously absent of healthcare facilities, the overall population health improves. And even though we are not measuring health in our study, there are certain indicators that we measure that most likely will improve too, like waiting times, lack of transportation. That could help. They're building healthcare facilities where they are most needed. Also, importantly, that these facilities should have enough personnel to take care of the patients. Interestingly, Black and Latino people were more likely to forego or delay medical care because long waiting times when they were at the doctor's office. So in these clinics or in this doctor's office where they serve a disproportionately higher population of Black and Latino people, they should have enough personnel to provide adequate waiting times. Also, having flexible hours to receive patients. As we know, Black and Latino people are more likely to work longer hours than white people in the US, having multiple jobs. And it may be harder, disproportionately higher, for these two groups to take time off to go to the doctor or go after work. So if these facilities can also have flexible hours, that will help tremendously to this population. So there are three things relating to healthcare facilities that may help. But we also propose or discuss two other things that may help in the short term. One is that it would be ideal that insurance could cover at least some part of the transportation for non-emergency healthcare. And meaning that if a person has an appointment at 9 a.m. For a checkup, it would be great that if the person cannot get there by themselves, the insurance coverage could cover the transportation. And that would guarantee that people are not delaying care just because they cannot get to the office. And the last one is that medicine is increasingly becoming, and with the pandemic even more, a digital science or a digital, healthcare is transforming to becoming more digital. And we should leverage this digital healthcare to provide high quality care and accessible care to people that may have other barriers that may prevent them to getting healthcare in person, or are at least alternatives. So using telemedicine for non-emergent conditions would help tremendously to reduce these barriers at least.
Was there anything in your findings that particularly surprised you?
Yeah, certainly. Although it's sad, we didn't expect that the disparities were getting better. We knew that as an overall picture, based on our prior work, we suspected that disparities were at least stable. We found that they increased, which is sad, but it wasn't surprising for us. What was most surprising is that over those 20 years, we are losing ground in healthcare delivery, where the proportion of people reporting these barriers nearly doubled, even after trillions of dollars have been poured into the healthcare system. The barriers of people, like people are having a harder time to get their care. So that was the most surprising part of our study.
I guess that raises the question of where's all that money going? Yeah. I don't expect that you'll have an answer. With all this investment and yet people's health isn't getting better, you have to wonder if we're investing it in the right places.
I agree.
Anything else you'd like to add?
So there are a few things that may help us understand our findings better. And one is that we also analyze these disparities by insurance status, meaning comparing insured Black people with insured white people. And we found that when we did that, the disparities between Black and white people were absent, meaning that insurance status is a huge driver of the disparities between Black and white people. However, we found that when we did the same for Black and for Latino people, the disparities remained among insured. So insured Latino people were more likely to experience these barriers than white people. Why is there a difference between Black and Latino people in terms of how the insurance status drives their disparities? It's not entirely clear to us, but it most likely has to do something with citizenship status, immigration status here in the US that adds another layer of barriers to getting help. So that's one important aspect that we hadn't discussed. And also, these disparities that we described were attenuated when we compared by income level. So we compared, for example, low-income Black people or Black people with low income and white people with low income. And we also found that the disparities were absent. And same happened with with Latino people, meaning that income in the US, even though these were not barriers related to cost, also determine how people get their healthcare beyond affordability of care. So yeah, I think those are another key points that it would be great for the listeners to know.
Do you have plans for any follow-up studies to this? Investigate any of these in more detail?
Yes, we are very interested in knowing how the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, has changed the disparities. Most likely, they have worsened, or at least during the peak of the pandemic, they worsened. But we are planning to, when we figure out and when we can merge the post-2019 data set with the previous of, like, prior to 2019, we can do a follow-up and see how the pandemic changed. Because I think that's another key aspect of this, that Black and Latino people in the US are the most vulnerable. And when there's a major shakeup or a major interruption in healthcare, they are most likely to be affected the most. So we want to study that in a few months if we can. And there's another key part that we haven't measured yet that we are working on it as we speak, is differences in mortality rates by race and ethnicity. Historically, Black people in the US have higher age-adjusted mortality rates than white people. I want to track how has that changed over a recent period, even beyond 2020, because that will be the ultimate indicator of how the US as a nation is failing Black people in their healthcare and in their health. So there is no biological reason for Black people to have higher mortality rates. So it would be a broad indicator of all of these other metrics that we have studied so far.
Well, we already have one sort of very large scale indicator, which is that life expectancy is decreasing. Obviously, we don't know how that breaks down among ethnic groups or racial groups, but it's not an encouraging sign.
That is correct. And yeah, interestingly, the life expectancy have gone down the most for Black people in the US.
Oh, so we do know. Okay.
Yeah, we do know. Okay. Yeah, so there's a very early indicator after the pandemic that it may have affected life expectancy the most for Black people.
Well, Dr. Carballo, thank you very much for joining us. This has been very helpful in discussion, and I think our audience will find it very useful.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope that this encourages more studies and awareness of these pervasive disparities, and that may shed light on possible solutions. And maybe if we speak again in a few years, we can say that it has changed and that there may be a little improvement in these metrics.
I'll look forward to your next study.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. And when you do, please leave a review. You can find previous podcast episodes on our website, medicaleconomics.com, under the Media tab. We welcome your comments and suggestions for future podcast topics. You can email these to us at medec@mjhlifesciences.com. And while visiting our website, be sure to check out the latest news about the business of healthcare and explore the many other resources you'll find there. We hope you'll listen next month for a new episode of Off the Chart with Medical Economics.